Praise the Lord, church, if we can stand at this time. This is how we get encouraged right here. Spring's right there. We're this close. I was thinking all the things I could do if it was about 20 degrees warmer today. Not yet. I'm going to wait a little bit longer. But if we could just open in prayer and just seek the will of God this hour. We're here. I just want to get everything that God has for me in this next hour. Collectively, if we could just pray in unity, Lord, I thank you for your presence. I thank you, Lord, for your touch. I thank you, Lord, for being here, Lord. You've already went before us. You went ahead of us, Lord. Lord, I can already feel your presence in this place, Lord. Lord, we want, Lord, to magnify you. We want to exalt you, Lord. We want to feel after you, Lord. We want to go after you, Lord, here tonight, Lord. We want to honor you, Lord, and lift you up and praise you, Lord, with everything that we have, Lord, to be sold out, Lord, to love you, Lord, with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our mind and all of our strength, Lord, as you commanded us to do, Lord. May it be our desire here tonight in this place. Hallelujah. Let's worship the Lord together. Hallelujah. I was just thinking about this. God is so unwavering in his love towards me. I want to be just as unwavering in my praise towards him. Lord, I thank you for your love for me. Lord, it has never changed, Lord. For the time, for every season of my life, Lord, your love is consistent and has been faithful, Lord. Lord, may all of our hearts of praise, Lord, to you, Lord, be just as consistent, Lord. Forgive us of our times, Lord, when we lack that consistency, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. I thank you for your presence that is here and your faithfulness towards us in Jesus' name. We're going to take the offering at this time. We're going to have an usher in the back. Let's pray for the offering. Lord, I thank you again, Lord, for being in your house, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be able to give tonight, Lord. Not only in a praise offering, Lord, in a worship offering, but also, Lord, to give a tithes offerings. I pray that you bless this offering, every faithful, cheerful giver, and the ones given by faith. In Jesus' name. Thank you. know about you, but I just want God to show up tonight. I'm here. I want him here more than anything. I just thinking, you know, we usually come here for about an hour. We're probably looking at our watches and turn around trying to look at that clock about 5 to 8. I just a few minutes. Just God, I just want you to show up here. I have a lesson I believe God's given me for tonight, but they're just words if he's not here. I want him to fill this time and space. I want him to fill these words these next few minutes. A few announcements tonight. Says Ellie needs a shower. I can vouch for her. She takes, as soon as she walks in the door of the house, she goes right in the, she takes a shower. So she's March 21st at 10 a.m. here. There's a shower for Allison. We're going to take some knees before the Lord. We're going to have some people that are traveling tonight. Sister Johnson, Weston, little Paris is traveling right after service tonight. Brother Johnson made it safely to Cancun. Bless his heart. Does anybody have any needs on this side that we could pray for? Sister D. Okay. Okay. Remember that need? Brother Wallace? Okay. I've had that. That's no fun. Remember that need as well. Anybody's? Brother Kellen? Okay. Anybody else on this side? Sister Christy? Okay. God knows those needs. Yes. Yes. Definitely. Anybody else have a need tonight? We can. Okay, Brother Day. Definitely Brother Day. It's good to see Sister Pat back here. Continue to pray for her recovering. Let's take these knees before the Lord. Lord, I thank you again, Lord. You know every need, Lord. You know, Lord. God, do you know, Lord? Lord, we just mention your name, Lord. Our hearts and our thoughts are towards you, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. Lord, you know Sister Christie's unspoken request, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. You're attentive to that. You're aware of it, Lord. You know the situation, Lord, at hand, in Jesus' name, Lord. And nothing is taking you by surprise, in Jesus' name, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, for everybody else in this place tonight, Lord. I pray, Lord, for Brother Kellum, Lord, for Sister Kellum. She's at home recovering, Lord, and Sister Pat to continue to recover, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. Lord, I also pray, Lord, for the ones traveling, Lord, for Sister Johnson and Brother Weston and Paris traveling tonight later on. Lord, keep your hand upon them and upon Pastor Johnson, Lord, as he's going to be out of town, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in this place, Lord, and what you're going to do in these next few minutes, Lord. I pray, Lord, you anoint this vessel, Lord. Anoint every part, Lord, of what you're about to do, Lord, in this next few minutes in Jesus' name, Lord. For the ones, Lord, for Easton, Lord, you prayed for the blind man, and he came back and says, I see men as trees, Lord, and you prayed again, Lord. May we pray again for Easton tonight, Lord, and believe, Lord, for a full recovery, Lord. Lord, you're doing an obvious work, Lord, and you hear the prayers, Lord, for the ones that are praying over Easton, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. Lord, when we're believing for a full recovery, Lord, there's evidence, Lord, that there is something there, and those tumors are there, and those tumors are disappearing, Lord. But God, Lord, you're able to finish what you started in Jesus' name, Lord. We're believing in that in Jesus' name. If we can give God a hand clap of praise for hearing our prayers. My faith says he heard that. My faith says that just entered the throne room. My faith says, he's got this. God's got this. Amen. You can be seated at this time. And tonight's topic, what we're going to talk about for the next few minutes is having a childlike faith. And I'll be honest with you, I'm so encouraged after this last weekend, and there's so much support that everybody in this whole district came and supported the installation service of Brother and Sister Johnson. But they came here to support them. They came here to support our church. We look like, at times, we seem small in number, but it is evident that the church is much bigger than the ones that are just here. And that was so encouraging. And they came from hours away. I know some of them traveled for 3+ hours. They had to go home that night to pastors that had to preach in the morning. And it's encouraging. It's edifying to the church body, what we saw Sunday and Saturday, in Jesus' name. So I want to start with an illustration. This came directly from an anonymous mother in Austin, Texas. For those who are about to have children, this can come as a warning, and all of us with grown kids, we all have our own stories to share as well. The things I've learned from my children, from a mother in Texas. A king-size waterbed holds enough water to fill a 2,000-square-foot house 4 inches deep. A 3-year-old's voice is louder than 100 adults in a crowded restaurant. We can all testify to that. If you hook a dog leash over a ceiling fan, the motor, it's not strong enough to rotate a 42-pound boy wearing Batman underwear and a Superman cape. It is strong enough, however, tied to a paint can to spread paint on all 4 walls of a 20-by-20-square-foot room. You shouldn't throw baseballs up in the ceiling fan. On a personal note, I remember the kids were little, we'd throw socks on the ceiling fan to see how far they would travel. I thought that was funny. When using a ceiling fan as a bat, you have to throw the ball up a few more times before you get a hit. And the ceiling fan can hit a baseball a long ways, and the living room windows do not stop a baseball hit by a ceiling fan. When you hear the toilet flush, the words, uh-oh, it's already too late. Brake fluid mixed with Clorox makes smoke and lots of it. A 6-year-old can start a fire with a flint rock, even though a 36-year-old man says it can only be done in the movies. Certain Legos will pass through a digestive tract of a 4-year-old. Also, those little tabs on top of pop cans as well. Play-Doh and microwave shouldn't be used in the same sentence. Super glue is forever. No matter how much jelly you put in a swimming pool, you still can't walk on water. Pool filters don't like Jell-O. VCRs don't eject peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, even though TV commercials say they do. Garbage bags don't make good parachutes. Marbles and gas tanks make lots of noise when driving. You probably don't want to know what that odor is. It's always good to look in the oven before you turn it on because plastic toys don't like ovens. The fire department in Austin, Texas has a 5-minute response time. The spin cycle on the washing machine does not make earthworms dizzy. However, it makes cats dizzy, and cats throw up twice their body weight when dizzy. Children can taste food from across the room by just looking at it. Find the one permanent marker in a bucket of 6 crayons. Transform your dress clothes into casual wear in just 1 meal. Hide all of your important things under heavy appliances and immovable objects. On a personal note, I remember Kara finding my side job stash in my nightstand and using that hallway cold air return as a deposit. I'll never forget that. But they enjoy movies the 100th time as much as the first. Programming a virus on your computer in just 3 taps on the keyboard, making you say things you promised you never would say, undo a weekend's worth of cleaning in just 10 minutes. We all know that kids can be trying at times, and it's important to remember we need to be nice to them as well because they will have control of what nursing home we go to when we get older. They can also be impulsive and unpredictable at times, and it's pretty amazing that our salvation is connected to that of a child's faith. It's pretty incredible. In Matthew 18, one of the disciples asked Jesus, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus didn't waste any time with this question. He called for a little child and put him right in the middle of all the disciples around him. of all these grown adults, man. And it seemed pretty cute at first to see this little child in the middle of all these grown men. Then he got serious and made it a heaven and hell issue. And in Matthew 18:3, it says, I tell you the truth, unless you be converted and become as a little children, you're not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. What seems nice and innocent at one time for all the adults to put the lump in their throat, say, I need to think differently. I need a mindset. I need a mind change. I need a transformation. It was exciting to see young children praying for the Holy Ghost Sunday morning. I'll be honest with you, I got Carmela and Jocelyn, little Ethan, Levi, they're on my prayer list. And I'm looking forward to hearing, seeing them speak in tongues for the first time. But I'm also looking forward to seeing some adults pray through the Holy Ghost for the first time as well. And it's us that we need a mind change, that we need to have this childlike faith. For one, as an adult, I needed that mind change. And there's some things that I needed in a mind change. First, I needed to believe that I needed the Holy Ghost. Second, I needed to want it more than anything. And third, I had to realize that it required faith. I would come in and out of church, and I would see people praying through the Holy Ghost the first or second time they come into church. And to me, I don't know if you ever heard of my testimony, between the time I was baptized and the time I received the Holy Ghost, it was 9 years. I needed that transformation. I needed that mind change. I had the mindset to where once you were saved, you're always saved. I believed in the sinner's prayer at one time, but I sat underneath anointed preaching, and time after time, I got to the point where, you know what? I know too much now to where I can't deny what I've heard. I'm responsible for what I've heard. Now I need to respond to this. I need to be obedient when it's time for an altar call. God didn't fill me with His Spirit then, but you know what? There's going to be another altar call, and I need to be obedient and step out in faith. And I need to have that faith as a child. But I as an adult, we need that transformation. And it doesn't mean that we need to act childish, but we need our minds to be transformed to have that childlike faith, to respond in obedient faith to God. And most of us here have been filled with the Holy Spirit, but there may be ones that are listening that haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit. And to enter into the kingdom of God, I needed a mind change. And I want to encourage somebody that hasn't been filled with God's Spirit that you as well need a mind change. Isaiah 55:7 says this, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and will abundantly pardon. But what is it about children that makes them a perfect role model for salvation? What are the traits that children have that are necessary to be accepted in the kingdom of God? And we're going to go over a few of these tonight. First, a child completely trusts. They haven't been let down so many times at the point where they can no longer trust anybody. That's a great kind of mindset to have. But how many of us have been let down as adults to where we've heard things over again and we've been let down time after time? To have that childlike faith, I have to push past. I have to transcend past the negative. To transcend by definition means I have to push past the negative. I have to push past those times when I have been let down time after time by people who said one thing and did another. It's very important. They still believe that people are looking out for the best interest and have the ability to put their confidence in people, especially in their parents. God wants us to have that kind of trust in Him. How many knows where the center of the Bible is and what chapter? Psalm 118 and verse 8. How many chapters are there before Psalm 118? I think some of you know this. There's 594 chapters. And how many are after that? 594. What does that equal? 1,188. What is that center verse? Psalms 118:8. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And that's not even on the board. Way to go, church. All right. Didn't even need it. There's a story of a dad gets a phone call from his daughter at work. The daughter says, Dad, I'm having a bad time. The dad asks, what happened? I broke two of my crayons and my picture just ripped in half. The dad asked, are you bleeding or dying? He goes, no. He goes, you're going to be okay. Maybe you're having a bad moment or a bad season in your life, but God is still on the throne and you're still in the church. And that is so encouraging. That is evident that God is still on the road, on this throne, and you're still in the church because you're here today. You survived some seasons in your life. You survived some very difficult times in your life. And this is where the church edifies each other. When somebody else is going to come in here, and you've been through this season in your life. I remember Victor Jackson spoke on that, about the unforgotten anointing at General Conference. It was on a Friday night. And Andrew's mother was sitting next to me, and she held me by the hand. She spoke something very personal to me, and I said, that was me 3 years ago. But there's going to be people that are going to walk in this church that are going to be in that moment where you were in a different time in your life. And this is where we're able to encourage each other as a church body. We're going to see this church grow because we're going to be able to encourage them. They're going to have something that this world does not have to offer. We've got seasoned people in this church come from all different backgrounds. We got blue collar, we got white collar, we got retired, we got young, we got old. We've all been through things in life, but we're all going to be able to connect to somebody. And that's encouraging. Secondly, your children don't have a tendency to worry about much of anything. That would be a wonderful quality as an adult, not to worry about nothing. Wouldn't that be? Not too many kids are concerned about climate change, world hunger, or who's going to be elected this November, or the rising cost of inflation, or about the 401k right now, or what we're going to have for dinner tonight after church. I myself am guilty of that one because I'm thinking of dinner right in the middle of eating breakfast every morning. So I repent, Lord. We can all find ourselves at times thinking about our past and the things that we cannot change, and our present and the uncertainty of our future, and that's not God's will in our life. It's troubling to see a spirit-filled person, an apostolic person that's been filled with the Holy Spirit, living a holy life, bent over worrying about things that they have no control over. Maybe you know people like that. Maybe you've seen that. That's not God's will. That He never intended for us to be like that. That's actually... worrying is not a forethought, and it's a fear thought. It's something that consumes us. The enemy's goal is to distract us, to get us to worry about things that we have no control over. But my faith says, God's got this. I don't need to worry about it. It's in His hands. I need to look up and trust Him. But a lot of times as adults, we like to have our hands on things. We like to be in control of things. But as a child, how much control do we really have when we're a child? Really, our lives are totally dependent on when mom and dad wakes us up and what they put on the table and when they're going to pick us up from school and what time to go to bed. God wants us to trust Him in every area of our life, in every detail. When these pop-ups happen in our life, He wants us to trust Him. And we all have these pop-ups. I believe I'm speaking to the church, to some seasoned people who've been through these pop-ups. And you've learned that you've had no control over these pop-ups in your life. And that's why we're able to encourage each other. I know God, when He sees the sparrow fall and He attends the funeral of a bird, if he sees that and He's just as aware of that, He is just as aware of everything that's going on in our lives. And I'm so thankful for that. Two things. I feel like I need to encourage somebody in their faith, but I feel like there is a certain level of faith that's already here, and I'm encouraged. I just want to be sensitive to the will of God in the next few minutes, but I do believe that I am speaking to a church that has faith in this place, and maybe you can take what you've heard tonight and you could encourage somebody here when you leave here tonight. How many people know here tonight that God's done it in your life, and if He did it before, He'll do it again? I'm thankful for that. He doesn't say, you know what, I need a rest from this. The last time you did this, it totally wore me out. I need a break. You know, God, he doesn't run to the convenience store and grab a Gatorade and say, give me a few minutes. He's able to do it again. He's able to do it again instantly and quickly. He's able to show up in an instant. He's able to heal in an instant. He's able to deliver in an instant. He's able to fill somebody in an instant. He's able to forgive in an instant. He's able to do a miracle in an instant. He's able to do it over and over again. It's his quality. He's not weak in any way. Luke 12 and 29 reads, and don't be concerned about what to eat and what to drink. Don't worry about such things. He's being repetitive. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers all over the world. But your Father already knows your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and he will give you everything you need. So don't be afraid, little flock. I believe he's speaking to the church in Sandwich right now. For it gives your Father great happiness to give you the kingdom of God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This little flock, God wants to descend on this little flock as much as he wants to descend upon a stadium full of teenagers during youth congress on a Thursday night or a Friday night. It's God's desire to give us the kingdom of God here on Eddy and Third. I don't need to worry about what I have or don't have. I don't need to worry about the highs and the lows. I'm in the building trades. I've been in this over half my life, and I deal with ebb and flow. If anybody's ever been in sales, or if you know anybody that's ever been in sales, it's a feast or famine kind of thing. But I've learned to trust God through ebb and flow, through abundance and through lack thereof. God is consistent, and I am not bound by the economy, by the world economy. I'm not bound by how things are happening around my coworkers or what's happening around the people around me, because God had his eye on that sparrow that died. He's got his eye on me. He takes good care of me. He's consistent in taking care of his own people. And I'm so thankful for that. He's worthy of a hand clap. Can we do that for a moment? I love this. Paul reads in Philippians 4, 18 and 19. He says, at the moment I have all I need and more, and I am generously supplied with the gifts you sent me with Epaphroditus. They are a sweet-smelling sacrifice that is acceptable and pleasing to God. And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. Paul is thankful for what the church has done for him and what the church has given him. But he's also reiterating in verse 19, he goes, you're a giver, and I appreciate that. But there's going to be a time when somebody that loves to give needs to learn to receive as well. And all of us, we need to learn this as adults. If God wants me to have childlike faith, I need to learn to receive. And maybe that's one of the struggles that I had as being an adult, receiving the Holy Ghost as an adult, was I need to grasp the idea. Yes, I needed to want it more than anything. It required faith, but I need to grasp the idea of receiving. How many people love to give? I love to give. Do you like to give gifts? It's a great feeling. The generosity, the charitable thing. You're not looking for any accolades, but man, it's a great feeling. But what about when you need something? God lets us know we need to learn to receive. We need the concept of not just giving, but also receiving things from him. I need to learn to receive it when somebody wants to bless me. Brother Callum, I was thinking about this. Remember, it was not too many years ago that I got in on a Friday night. I went to the fair, and I was over by the yellow building, and Brother Callum was over there. And I got in with somebody else's pass. I don't even think I had $5 to my name. And over by the yellow building, does everybody know where those eclairs are, those big cinnamon rolls are? You can smell them from, like, how far away can you smell those things? He comes over by me, and he shakes my hand. He puts just the right amount of what one of those cinnamon rolls cost. I'm like, yes! But here's the thing. I hesitated to receive it, for one. Being an adult, we're used to giving. And to thank him for it. God wants us to receive something from him, but he wants us to thank him for it. He wants us It's a twofold thing, giving and receiving. I need to understand the importance of receiving what God has for me, to be thankful for it. If we're going to see people receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, we need to learn to receive things that God has for us as well. It's an important thing for all of us. For every seasoned one in this church, we need to learn to be receivers of what God has for us. Third, a child is quick to forgive. They get over things really quick. How many people struggle with this at times? You remember what somebody did or didn't do to you, or didn't look at you, or didn't appreciate what you did for them, and it was 20 years ago? Is that adulting? I remember in my teenage years, my brother and I would fight. I think part of the reason why we're both in the building trades is after we got done fighting, we knew how to repair 6-panel doors. end tables. One thing we weren't able to get out, Brother Al, was those dents and the cookie sheets. You know, you try to bang over your brother's head when you're fighting. But the thing was, we didn't hold a grudge with each other. I learned to forgive him. He learned to forgive me, obviously. I remember we got some of the worst fights of our life. I remember they were so bad. I'm thinking, I don't even know if one of us are going to survive this night. But you know what? I love my brother. He loves me. We'll do anything for each other. We're learned quick to be forgive. And this is pretty interesting. Jesus finishes the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6, and the only part he expounds on is, I did it again. You ever touch your iPad and it goes everywhere? In Matthew 6:14 and 15, it reads, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you of your trespassers." This is pretty interesting. And the Mayo Clinic talks about the importance of forgiveness and the health benefits. I don't know if anybody's ever heard this, but there's articles on this. It says, forgiveness can lead to a healthier relationships, greater spiritual and psychological well-being, less anxiety and stress, lower blood pressure, fewer symptoms of depression, stronger immune system, improved heart health, high self-esteem. John Hopkins Medicine also has an article on forgiveness and also says your health depends upon it. There are actually forgiveness clinics that you can look up online. And I've seen people, after I heard this for the first time, there was no accident that I've came in contact with somebody that was having health problems, and they said, the doctors can't do anything for me. And I realized they're harboring unforgiveness. If you hold on to something that somebody did to you and you don't forgive them, you're only hurting yourself. That's incredible. To have that childlike faith, I need to learn to forgive. Number four is a child has a lot of faith. You tell them something big and they're wowed by it. You can make up the biggest story, and they're all in. They believe this whole thing. They still believe in the tooth fairy. I would, too, if I put a tooth on my pillow and I woke up in the morning and grabbed a $5 bill. I mean, like, I'm all in. I'm sold on this one. They still believe in Santa Claus and Rudolph. And as a child, the devil has been able to tamper with their faith yet. The key is having a faith of a child but not acting like a child. You tell them Jesus loves them, and they're sold. You tell them there's somebody special, and their confidence soars. You tell them he died on the cross for them, you have their attention. You tell them they can be forgiven, and they're relieved. You tell them they need to be baptized and receive the Holy Ghost. They want to go ask mom and dad right now, can I be baptized? You tell them he's coming back for them. They're looking up and anticipating. You tell them about a huge city that's going to descend, and they're looking all around. You tell them he can heal any disease, physical and sickness, and they'll believe without hesitation. It's getting back to a childlike faith. We're adults. We're seasoned in life. My faith has to be that of a child. For God. I want to lay hands on the sick and they recover. I want to lay hands on people and see them receive the Holy Ghost. I want to pray believing without doubting. And God says, yes, I will do that for you. I will do that in your church. I will do that in your family. I will do that in your life. So I believe without doubting. A child loves with all their heart. I have in my dresser at home, I got some Valentine's letters from my daughters, and they're some of the most valuable things, more valuable than any possession that I own. And they become teenagers, you can tell them to clean their room, and you're not their biggest fan anymore. There's no middle ground with children. They either love you or they hate you. But a child knows how to love with her whole heart. I want to love with my whole heart. I want to be sold out. The greatest commandment, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt serve the Lord with all thine heart, mind, soul, and strength. If I want to exhaust myself of anything, I want to love God with everything that I have. That there is no holding back. There is nothing to say, you know what? I wish I would have gave it more. I want to cross the finish line. I want to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But I want to know that I gave everything that I have for the kingdom of God while I'm here on this earth. There's in this world where people aren't afraid to sell out for what they believe in and stand for anymore. I believe we're all getting junk mail at this time of what politicians are standing for and the train that they're riding. We're all getting this. And I believe that there was a time when the church, there was a middle ground that you could kind of feel safe to stand on, especially with all these non-denominational churches. There is no room. I believe that stage has been cleared. Either you're for something or you're against it. God is saying, you know what, I don't have time for this. The time is too short. Either you're all in or you're out. There is no middle ground anymore. I want to respond with my whole heart saying, I'm in, I am sold out. I'm going to give my God everything I got in these last days, in Jesus' name. Without hesitation. A lot of times, as adults, we can feel like we're going after something and we've been let down and disappointed, that we invested our time and our effort and our energy in something. But God is saying to us tonight, if you exhaust your energy and your effort, and you're sold out to me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you will lack in nothing. I will not withhold anything from you. I want to give everything I got. Whatever energy, whatever I got in these bones and these joints and these ligaments and these tendons and this heart and this mind, everything I got, whatever's left, God, it is yours. I'm all in. I want to give it to him. In Jesus' name, I believe he won't hold back either. Isaiah 57:15 says, thus saith the Lord, the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. I want my heart to be tender. It is my job to keep this soil fertile, to keep this heart tender. It's not easy. It's easy to get the heart hard, to keep it hard. It's almost like a protective mechanism when we feel like we've been walked on and trampled on and people have taken advantage of us. But God says, keep your heart tender. It's your responsibility. I'm with you. I'm for you. I'm not against you. I got your heart in my hand. I got your life in my hand. You could trust me. You don't put your confidence in man, but you put your confidence in me. I'm going to take good care of you. He will not let us down. He has never let me down once. Seventh, a child isn't too proud to cry out for help. There is no pride with a child when he cries out for help. I don't know. We all know Sister Kelly. She's not here right now. She's not feeling well. But every time she talks about praying for her kids, I hear a crack in her voice. She starts to cry. I believe God, he has responded to every prayer that she is crying out to in prayer. And if we humble ourselves and pray and just ask, God, Lord, I need you. I can't do this at my home, but Lord, I'm standing in the gap for somebody that I love. Lord, eternity's at stake. Their soul is at stake. I believe God hears that. He hears us when we cry. If, If I don't feel nothing in church, that's my problem. I need to keep a tender heart. I want to be moved. I need to be moved. If I'm not moved, then God is going to move and is going to pass me by. And that is on me. It's not that he wasn't here. It's not that he didn't make an effort. It is because I'm unresponsive. It is because my heart isn't tender. That is my problem. That's unrepentant. My unwillingness to cast my cares upon him because he cares for me. It was me trying to harbor things of my own that he never intended for me to harbor. Galatians 4 and 6 says, "And because ye are sons, God has sent forth a spirit, the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." Abba in Aramaic means, "O Father." It expresses a deep intimacy, a confidence that allows us to cry out to him in our time in need. I am so thankful that I can humble myself before him and I can cry out to him and he hears me and he responds to that cry for help. Everyone in Scripture who cried out to God for help, God responded. David, in his distress, he cried out unto the Lord, and he helped him. The children of Israel cried unto the Lord in their bondage, and he raised up a deliverer. Bartimaeus cried unto the Lord, and Jesus stood still. I've seen it. I've seen when one person would cry out to God in the middle of the service, God would totally stop and change the whole direction of the service. It's incredible. The disciples cried out in a storm, and Jesus drew near. Psalms 72:12 says, "For he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. He is the helper of the ones that have no helper." I'm going to close with this, if we could stand. We're done a few minutes early. And this in my Bible reading, this came to my mind as I was preparing for this evening. It says, "The next time you cross paths with someone that doesn't have the faith that you have, that doesn't believe that there's a God, or doesn't know God the way you do, or someone who's been going through a storm in a whirlwind of life that they can't see up or down or right from left, share the scripture with them." Psalms 119, 1 through 6 says, "The heavens proclaim the glory of God, and the skies display his craftsmanship. Day after day they continue to speak. Night after night they make him known. They speak without a sound or a word. Their voice is never heard. Yet their message has gone through the earth and their words to all the world. God has made a home in the heavens for the sun. It bursts forth like a radiant bridegroom after his wedding. It rejoices like a great athlete eager to run the race. The sun rises at one of the heavens and follows its course to the other. Nothing can hide from his heat." God is making himself known throughout the world. He always has. He is showing himself strong, but am I looking? He is speaking, or am I listening? I thank God for the gift of the Holy Ghost, and he desires every one of us to have. And I also thank God for every test and trial in my life, because it's built my faith in him. Maybe you've got this giving thing down, but you need to work on receiving. Lord, help me to be humble and to receive something that you want to give me, that I may see others receive the greatest gift that you have, that you desire to give mankind, that is a gift of your spirit. It's important that we keep our hearts tender, and that I need to love him with everything that I have, not holding back, to love him with my whole heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, and with all my strength. Lord, we come before you, Lord, humble, Lord. Lord, Lord, we don't have all the answers. We cannot make it on our own. We cannot do this on our own, Lord. We're trusting in you, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. May we learn to receive, Lord. Lord, many of us receive the gift of the Holy Spirit in our lives, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. But you have so much more that, Lord, that you want us to receive, Lord. Lord, may we have hearts to receive, to respond, Lord, obedient, thankful, Lord, responsive. In Jesus' name, Lord. We're not always able to give, Lord, but you're able to give way more than we're able to give on our own, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I pray that you're encouraged tonight, that your heart has been touched. In Jesus' name, do you have a song you'd like to share? Okay. I'm yours and he is mine. Our Heavenly Father has never let us down once. And that gives me the faith to know that he's got my life. He's got our lives. He's got this church in his hands. And if God for us, who could be against us? Lord, I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your promises, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the comfort in your everlasting arms that we're able to rest in, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your consistency, Lord, through every season in our life, Lord. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Continue to keep the ones traveling in your prayers tonight and throughout this week. Look forward to seeing everybody Sunday morning at 10 a.m. In Jesus' name, you are dismissed.